And if you would, just lift your hands and Lord, thank you. Bless you, Lord. We ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. God, how we need your word even more today than we did yesterday, Lord. So we try our best to navigate through this fallen world, through this dark, dying, and decaying word, Lord. Give us insight from your word. Give us discernment, Lord. Give us understanding. Reveal the secrets in your word, Lord, so that we might apply them and live for you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord. We need the lamp and we need the light so we can stop stumbling and bumbling, Lord. Let us walk by your word. Let us live by your word. We bless you for your word. Speak to us through your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Esther chapter 8, verse 8. If you notice, we're having a little technical difficulty this morning, so it's not up on the screen. But you all know, you all way past that. You know you should never come to church without your Bibles, really. Praise the Lord, folks. You know you should never come to church without a Bible. The screen's working? All right. You still shouldn't come to church without your Bible. You're not off the hook. That's the Esther 8 and 8. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Look at verse 10. Go down to verse 10. And this is more speaking of Mordecai. And he wrote in the king and King Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post and horseback and riders on mules and camels and young dromedaries. Somebody say amen. So we pick up the story when Mordecai has the king's ring and he's sealing it in the king's name. But those of us that have been here, we know it didn't start like that. That's not how it started. And what's the song? I woke up like this. No, it didn't start like that. You know, no, you don't wake up and have the king's ring and sealing everything in the king's name. And being everything, doing everything that God has called you to do. It does not start like that. Make a note, as we talked about the book of Esther, the name of God is not mentioned once in this book of Esther. Also make a note that prayer is not mentioned once in the book of Esther. Make a third note that even in the New Testament, they never refer back to the book of Esther. Sometimes they refer back to the book of Isaiah, the Psalms, but they never refer back to the book of Esther. Just shows how much of a unique and special book this is, because the hand of God is all throughout the book. And sometimes in your life, it might not feel like God is with you, but trust me, God is there. His handwriting is everywhere in my life and in your life. Whether we feel it or not, and whether we see it or not, or whether we think it's there or not, it is. The hand of God goes throughout the book of Esther. But it's one thing that they didn't experience until they totally submitted, when they totally committed and submitted to prayer. It doesn't say prayer, but it says fasting. For 3 days and three nights. And those of us who ever fasted, trust me, you know that you are praying and fasting. Amen? Amen. But until they totally committed, and then when they put their life on the line, Esther said, whatever happens, I'm going all out for God. Listen to what she said. I'm going all out for God. And whatever happens, happens. It's the mentality and attitude I want us as a body of believers to finish out this year with, from September to December 31st, and then we'll pick it up right at January 1, but I'm going all out for God. And whatever happens, happens. I want you to remember to pray and fast each morning and then get into the Proverbs. If those of you, how many of you read Proverbs 13 already today? How many are going to read it later? All right, I'm not looking. It's between you and God. But those of us who've taken the challenge, the insight that's coming from the Proverbs, I can't believe I've done this for years, but God has never ministered to my heart like he has now as I'm going through these Proverbs. And just the wisdom of God, we need that to operate today. Trust me, the world, the culture is telling you one thing. If you don't have the insight of God, talking about how wisdom is more precious than rubies and how that and anything that you can desire cannot be compared to the wisdom of God, and how that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Young folks, how important it is for you to choose your friends wisely. So important. And it all just the wisdom. That's just a tiny glimpse of some of the wisdom that's coming from Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and I think it's 11, 12 and 13 compares the righteous to the wicked. So you know what's right to do and you know what's wicked to do and you know the difference. And I don't blame you. I might not want to know that either, because once I know it, I'm accountable. And I have to make some changes. So I'm encouraging you all. Let's go all out for God and see what he wants to do as we finish out this year. Wow, it's September already. Hard to believe. Look at this. Look at another instance of total surrender to God. Go with me to Genesis 22. Let me just share some insights. We'll come back to Esther in just a minute. Go to Genesis 22 and verse 10. Classic story of Abraham and Isaac. God tells Abraham that he has to offer up his son. And Abraham decides to do it. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? All right. How many of you have a son? So, I mean, it's really personal. God says you need to offer him up. You need to sacrifice him to me, which is what God tells you to do anyway. So stop worrying about your kids. Amen. You got to let your kids go. You have to give them to God. And remember, you are not your kids' choices. You're not your kids' choices. Let me say that again. You are not your kids' choices. Your kids have free will, just like you and I had free will. Sacrifice them up to God. Give them to God. Train them up in the way they should go. And the word says, the principle of the word says, when they're old, they won't depart from it. But either way, that's not your responsibility to play Holy Spirit. You are not your kids' choices. Liberate yourself. Think about it. Adam and Eve, God gave them everything, and they still did their own thing. Let me say that again. God gave them everything, and they still did their own thing. And here you and I are stressing out, not sleeping, losing sleep, gray hairs, losing hair, no hair. The kids gonna do what they want to do anyway. Thank you, Ivy. It's our job to offer them up to God, to pray for them, cover them in prayer. But we're not the Holy Spirit. That's not our job. Not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Lord's Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Okay, so here we are. We're in Genesis 22:10. So Abraham has got the word from God that he's supposed to go and offer up his son unto God. And so we get to the point, they've already built the altar and tied him up and all that kind of stuff, all that awkward stuff where you tying your son up to the wood and all that, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And Abraham is, 16, 17 years old at this time, so he had to submit to the will of God too. But we get to verse 10, it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." So at this point, and most scholars believe, as I said before, that Abraham figured that God would resurrect his son. He didn't know what would happen, but he was sold out. "I'm sold out for God, and whatever happens, happens." That was the mentality. He raised his hand to slay his son. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, somebody should have that underlined already, that you reverence God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from God. What does God know about you and I this morning? Does he know that we're at the level that we'll raise that knife to that stuff that's in our life, to that secret thing that's in our life, and say, God, I'm finished with it? The angel didn't step in until he was totally surrendered. And then look at verse 13, just the first part. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket. Make a note. He didn't see what God had for him until he was totally surrendered and sold out. You will not see what God has for you until you are totally surrendered and sold out. You will not see it. Oh, but as I was studying this, I kind of flipped the coin and looked at the other side of it. Look at this. He was getting ready to kill his son because that's what God told him to do. Sacrifice his son. I'm getting ready to sacrifice this. But when he was totally sold out and surrendered, then God could say, hold up. I don't want you to sacrifice this. I want you to sacrifice that, which was the ram in the thicket. He was getting ready to sacrifice and kill the wrong thing. If he wasn't totally surrendered, if he was just playing church, if he was just going through the motions, he would have heard God and he wasn't totally surrendered. He would have sacrificed. He would have killed the wrong thing. You would have sacrificed the wrong relationship. Singles, you'll sacrifice your relationship with God and go after the wrong thing because you're not totally surrendered. Husbands, you will sacrifice your relationship with your wife and go after the wrong thing, the secretary, because you're not totally surrendered. You will sacrifice the wrong relationship. Youth, you will sacrifice your relationship with your parents and go after those no good friends of yours because you're not completely sold out to God. And you will call yourself a Christian saying, I'm doing what God told me to do, but you're not totally surrendered and you're sacrificing the wrong relationship. You're getting ready to kill the wrong thing. He would have killed the wrong thing if he wasn't totally surrendered. He didn't see what God had for him until he lifted the knife. I knew it would be a tough message this morning. I knew it would be. So church family, we'll sacrifice the wrong relationship. You'll meet some new guy, some new girl. They smell good. They look good. They say, I'm not really with that church stuff. You go, okay. And you'll sacrifice the wrong relationship. You'll kill the wrong thing. You'll kill all your relationships to your church family because I think this has to be the one that God has for me. Although I'm not totally surrendered, so I'm not sure, but I'm going to do it this way. You sacrifice the wrong thing because you're not totally surrendered. Somebody make a note of that. Hey, and you know what they say as we go through our pastor school and, you know, you go to school as a pastor, they tell you that preaching is only speaking out loud to yourself. So I'm right here too. Amen. That's all it is. When I'm preaching to you, God's already ministered to my heart. We learned on Wednesday nights. And I want to encourage you all as we finish this year, at least come to Bible study. Make it a point to come at least once a month if you can't come every Wednesday. But make it once a month. Put that on your calendar. Just fight to get there. And as we're praying, as we're going through the Proverbs, as we're going through Exodus, it's just a beautiful time, and God's revealing a lot. But one thing God revealed Wednesday night is the priest, and we're all priests and kings and priests. We're royalty, and within God's family, we're joint heirs with the Father, joint heirs with the Son. We're a royal priesthood. We're a chosen nation. But they say what the priests did, they ministered to God first before they ministered to the people. As I'm reading, I've ministered to God first before I come and minister to you all. Most people get it mixed up, especially pastors. And I'm speaking from experience. I've seen pastors. They want to minister to the people and never minister to God. Because if they were ministering to God, God would say, no, you don't need to be at the church 7 days a week. You need to be at home with your family. You don't need to be out there putting on a show. You need to give them the word just the way it's here. You don't need to make stuff up. Just give it to them the way it is. It's unfortunate, and you all know this too, because you've been in churches before, and we've seen how a church can tear, supposedly a church can tear a family apart, because that's because we're not ministering to God first. We want to get up here and do our own thing. And then our families become casualties. And God is going, are you kidding me? You think I put you up to be a pastor, to be a minister, to be a leader, to destroy your own family? Are you kidding? So family, we minister to God first. That's in Exodus. If you want to look at it, it's Exodus 28 and 29. It's important that we come. So we come to church, you should already minister to God before you come and lift your hands corporately. Ivy, did you? I saw you up there. You fixed my mic. Okay. Before you've come to church on Sunday mornings, you've already lifted your hands to God and ministered to him first before you come minister with us corporately. Amen. All right, let me get back to the scriptures. Genesis 22:13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He was getting ready to sacrifice his son, and he would have killed the wrong thing. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. What have you given up that you shouldn't have given up? Because you're not totally surrendered. We can't finish 2015 flipping and flopping in the wind, not knowing what God really has for us. Have to be totally surrendered. Then verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Somebody highlight that. God provides. The book of Esther is a book of providence. Provision, providence, God provides. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, that God has already worked out. God's already worked it out. God's already providing. You have to do your part. You waiting on God. He's waiting on you to be totally surrendered. It's not that God doesn't work. We're not surrendered. We're not in position. We're not chasing him. We're not seeking God like we're going after this other stuff. And then Abraham would have never saw it until he was totally surrendered. What are you still waiting to see? What are you waiting on God to move? And God say, well, I'm kind of waiting on you. And you keep sacrificing the wrong stuff. And you're not surrendered. Then that's between you and God. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. Somebody say amen. Because we can testify that God is a provider. Amen. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Stick with God, it shall be seen. It's just a matter of time. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. So through our surrender, God speaks to us more than once. Look at the prerequisite. He was surrendered. He was totally sold out. He was able to see. He was able to see what God had for him. He was able to hear what God was saying to him. Somebody get that this morning. If you want to see what God has, if you want to hear what he's saying to you, you got to get to the place of total surrender. And I love God for verse 16. He said, by myself, God don't need to put that on anything but himself. You don't need to put that on your mama. You don't need to put it on your dead homies. You don't need to do it. Just put it on God and live right. And said, by myself, I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Look at that. Because of his surrender, because of his obedience, God said, I'm going to bless you. We want the blessing. We want to live raggedy. We want to come and go and do this and do that and live raggedy. And we want to be blessed and increased. God said, no, you got the wrong formula. Not only are you not hearing from me, you're not seeing from me, you're sacrificing the wrong thing, and you're not blessed. We want it the easy way. We want the lamp that we can just rub. We want to hit the lotto, not sacrifice nothing. I don't want to go to work. I'm going to just play the lotto. I'm not going to put no time in nothing. And when I hit the lotto, I'm going to pay my tithes. You need to stop lying right there. You ain't going to need it. We ain't going to see you till that money runs out. And you're going to be back here asking the church to pray for you. Knock it off. And we might pray for you. No, we will. We got our women on Wednesday and Tuesday. They tarry on Tuesday. And they're seasoned saints. And seasoned saints on Thursdays and dinos on Friday. And that's the inside retreat thing. That's the inside retreat joke. All right. But we thank God for a praying church. Amen. But God said, when you totally surrender, you're not surrendering, you're not giving up something for nothing. God said, when you give up, when you surrender, then I'm going to bless you and I'm going to increase and I'm going to multiply you. Amen. The enemy has us paralyzed with fear that if we totally surrender to God, that we're going to lose everything. And God says, I'm trying to give you everything that I have for you. If you let that go, you'll never, if you let him go, you'll never get another one. You let her go, you never get another one. If you don't hold on to it, if you don't step in, then you're going to lose it. And then that's going to be that. God is saying, surrender to me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to increase you. Verse 18. Well, let me finish 17 all the way. That in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. By surrendering, God says, I even got your enemies covered. Don't even worry about it. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because what? We want the stuff without the obedience. Bless you. We want to live raggedy and get the stuff. God saying, no, not don't finish the year like that is what God is saying. That's what he's challenging us. Come on, let's get it together as we finish the year. At least give me the next 3 months. Surrender to me and let me show you what I can do going into 2016. So 2016 doesn't have to be an extension of 2015, which was only an extension of 2014. We're in the ninth month and some people are still playing 2014 games. You're stuck in 2014. We're getting ready to hit 2016. God said, at least give me a chance these last 4 months. Let's see what I can do. All right, let's go back to Esther, chapter 8. Because we all over the place this morning, amen? I was trying to just stay one place, and God said, not this morning. In Esther 8 and 8, Mordecai and Esther just didn't wake up like this. Is that the song Flawless or something like that? I woke up like this. You're not just going to wake up and have it all together with no sacrifice, with no suffering, with no serving. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ, he came to serve, sacrifice, and suffer. And we're disciples of him, and we think we shouldn't have to do any of those. I thought that was funny. Oh, my gosh. Jesus served, sacrificed, and suffered. And then you have, that's why that prosperity message just doesn't fly. Because Jesus, if he had to serve, sacrifice, and suffer, and then we don't, and we're his disciples, we're to act just like he did, and we have no issues, no health issues, no crazy kid issues. No marital issues, no parental and friends. Are you kidding me? Jesus' brothers walked away from him. They didn't even believe he was the Messiah until after he resurrected. His brother James was like, dude, I grew up in the house with you. You're not all that. And we supposed to have everything all together. and not suffer. And if you having health issues, you're not holy. And if you having this issue, something's wrong with you. If your marriage is not having any issues, you're probably serving Satan. Because he ain't going to mess with you then. He's going to let you think you cool. If you're having issues, that's because you love God. He's trying to tear that thing apart. That's why we're same thing he did with Christ, tempted him. Tried to get him to fall. Tried to get him to do his own thing. He told him, turn these stones into bread. Hey, man, you need to do your own thing. You don't need to be suffering. You God. You don't even have to go to the cross. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you right now. Why do you want to go to the cross? You don't have to do that. Why, what you want to suffer for? Just do what I tell you and look what I'm going to give you. That's a totally different gospel than what's right here. So Esther 8 and 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. I love that. In the king's name, underline in the king's name. And seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. All right, so let's fast forward to the New Testament. Let's go to John 14. And so when Jesus is talking to the Jews and he's telling them to ask what you will in my name, they understood because they knew what happened in the book of Esther. They were still celebrating Purim. And they're trying to figure out, what is this dude saying? That's John 14. Look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh my gosh, they're trying to say, what? King Ahasuerus told him, write it in my name and seal it with my ring, and it won't be reversed. Jesus is saying, if you ask it in my name, I will do it. But then he puts a little condition on that in verse 15, which I wanted to gloss over, but I can't. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you ever want to ponder, and this is just a homework assignment, I don't normally give homework in church, but just a little homework assignment. Before you go to bed tonight, and if you want to know if you really love God, just ask yourself, am I doing what he's telling me to do? Am I keeping his word? Deep. But it's not complicated. It's real deep. So if you love me, just keep my commandments. Look at John 15. And verse 12. Sometimes we overthink this stuff. I think the word is just simple enough. We don't really have to overthink it. We just have to apply it. But we do have to be surrendered. That's the hardest part, is surrendering, because it's quite simple. That's John 15 and 12. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. So I was putting this together. I was saying, I wonder if he's talking to married couples. I wonder if he's talking to children and parent relationships. I wonder if he's talking to parent and child relationships. I wonder if he's talking to brother and sister relationships. I wonder if he's talking to church family. And see, if he just would have said, if you love one another, that's cool. Because I don't know how that looks. I can make up that. But he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then he breaks it down in case they didn't know. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man, that means mankind, which includes men and women, lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So that gets back to the love. Are we loving one another as God has loved us? Are we laying down ourselves for each other? Are we really friends with God? Do we even love God? Oh, I knew it would be a little deep. I'm sorry. I was trying to get away. I was trying to find something where you could just get some money and something and buy a house and God's going to bless you. But I couldn't find that. Brother Marquise, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. This is where God was leading me today. We got to finish this year strong in love and in obedience. And sacrifice, all those words you don't want to hear. All right, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I have called you friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I love verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We don't even choose God. That's why we can't. That's why we have to stay humble. That's why we have to stay surrendered, because we didn't even choose God. It wasn't like we had it going on and God said, oh, I could use somebody like that. Can you come work for me? It wasn't like that. And unfortunately, everybody's not chosen. And so that's what keeps you humble, that God, in your great wisdom, some kind of way you chose me. As messed up as I was. And you still love me and you. And it says you ordained me that I should go and bring forth fruit and that the fruit should remain. And then he says again that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And sometimes we feel inadequate because we fall and we trip and we drop the ball. But God has still chosen you and he still ordained you. And God is rooting for you and I to get it together, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we have the power that if we ask it in Jesus' name, that he will do it. But you got to be totally surrendered. Otherwise, you won't be able to hear clearly. You won't be able to see clearly, and you'll continue to sacrifice the wrong things because you're not surrendered. It's not that God's not ready to bless and multiply, is just that we haven't made up our minds to totally surrender. And that's where the problem comes. And I'm hoping as we finish this year that we'll get on board with God. Look at Matthew. Turn back to Matthew 18 and then we'll go and finish up in Esther for today. Matthew 18. These are scriptures that you meditate on, that you pray on. Matthew 18. And look at verses 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree. See, remember, a lot of people say touch and let's touch and agree. That's not what the scripture says. You don't touch and agree. You agree and then you touch. That's unity. That's making sure you're on the same page. Just don't go grabbing anybody's hand and start agreeing on stuff. We got to agree on the basics before we start touching and praying. This is what the word says. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 24, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Highlight that. We gather in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. We call on Jesus' name. We surrender to the name of Jesus, which is a name which is above every name. All right, let's finish up. Let's go back to Esther 8. Okay, so we understand that they were surrendered, and that's what led to them having the authority to write in the king's name and seal with the king's ring. Next week, we'll talk about the seal, because our message for this year has been spirit-filled and spirit-sealed. And we'll go a little bit deeper on being filled, being sealed. And this is how they were, the king sealed it. When you saw that king's signet, you didn't touch it. And God tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. So God's put his seal on us. That's a beautiful thing. I don't even know if I get that. Amen. Do we understand that we're actually sealed? And what it, that word sealed, he said he's sealed us as a down payment, which means he's coming back for us. We talked about it being like layaway. Amen. I want that, but I don't want nobody else to get it. Well, can you leave a deposit? I don't really have it, but I'm going to leave that deposit because I want to come back and get that shirt, that hat, those shoes. Amen. Because if you don't leave a deposit and you come back, well, we sold it. Well, you should have left a deposit if you really wanted it. So God said he's left a deposit on us, which is the seal of the Holy Spirit. So that means we're kind of just passing through here. This is not really our home. I have to try and remind myself this stuff really doesn't matter because God sealed me and he's going to come back and take me home. He's just put down a deposit with the Holy Spirit and he's going to bring us home with him. It's just like the when you bought the house that you thought you were buying for you, but it's really not you, yours, because you can't take it with you because you're going to have to leave it. But still, you had to put a deposit on. Are you serious about this house? Yeah, I want to put an offer. Well, you need to put your deposit on it, too. And I guess this would be sort of like escrow now. We're kind of in escrow, huh? Getting the kinks worked out, you know. But the beautiful thing is we can't fall out of escrow if we're really God's. We can't fall out of escrow. Your house can. Hey, how many of y'all had a house fall out of escrow before? That's crazy. Oh, I'm the only one? Okay, cool. That's cool. Oh, my credit's the only one that's jacked up? Okay, I got y'all. Okay. Y'all ain't even right this morning. Y'all ain't even right. I'm the only one who... Okay, that's cool. I got y'all. You got to fall in there. Oh, okay. First, you got to get in escrow to get out. Okay, all right. Thank you. All right. Before they can kick you out, huh? See, the only thing about God's escrow account, you can't fall out of it. But he's put the seal and he's put the deal and he's got the down payment and he's coming back. We are sealed. That's why when Paul is talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're going to go deeper with that in a few weeks. But being sealed with the Holy Spirit, being filled and being sealed, God's coming back for us. And they could relate to it because in the book of Daniel, it talked about the seal. And the book of Nehemiah talks about the seal. In the book of Esther, it talks about the seal. And when you talk about it in the New Testament, it's like, wait a minute, you mean the king has sealed me? So now I belong to the king and nobody can reverse this? First John, they said that, you know, they say they didn't really, they didn't lose their salvation. That's a whole another thing, you know, that's two different doctrines. Some people say you can lose your salvation. People say, no, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. John said they went out from us, but they weren't with us from the beginning. Amen. They didn't lose anything they didn't have. Like you say, they didn't even ever get in the escrow. They were never in the account. They never had a down payment placed on them. Those are the two different doctrines. Can you lose your salvation? Jesus said, no one can pluck you out of my hand. So if you're really in his hand, you can't come out of there. If you're sealed with that spirit, you can't come out of there. And that's not a license to live raggedy because I know that I'm sealed. No, that's like a down payment saying keep it together so you don't have to go through life cheating yourself from the best that God has for you. That's what God is saying. I've sealed you. Don't cheat yourself. And we have to remember that seal means it's like it says it's a mark, it's a smear, it's put on us just to remind us that we're just passing through here. Don't get too comfortable down here. Live the abundant life, yes, but just know that we're just transitioning. And when God comes back for those that he sealed, we're out of here. And when we pass away and we're sealed, we just transition right to God. That's what the word teaches. Verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded. Wait a minute. Mordecai's commanding stuff now? He sat in the king's presence. He was getting ready to die. He was going to be killed if God didn't step in. Come on, family. Don't judge your life by where you are now. Let God step in. Leave God room. He was going to be killed. Now he's commanding. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants, the deputies. He's commanding soldiers and officers and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia. Now, we're not going to get into a geography lesson this morning because we're still struggling with math, but that's okay. But just think about when you get a chance, check out a map, see India, see where Ethiopia is. He was commanding all that 127 provinces. Unto the province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent it by post on horseback and riders, mules, camels, young dromedaries. And that's where we will pick up next week. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Lord, are you speaking this morning or what? Let us bow our heads just for a quick moment. As God is ministering to us to sacrifice, make sure you don't kill the wrong thing. Totally surrender. The blessings, the increase, the blessings and the increase are there. But it has to be God's way. The suffering, the serving and the sacrifice is all God's. It's all part of God's plan. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing weird about where you are in life. Christ had to suffer. Christ had to be rejected. He had to persevere. He had to endure. He dealt with temptations, frustrations, and distractions. He asked the disciples, you guys couldn't pray for just 1 hour? He had to deal with disappointments and setbacks. But it was only a setup. So God, here we are. We're trying to finish out this year. Matter of fact, God, we're just trying to finish out today. God, we're trying to get through today. So as we're praying for our daily bread, Lord, we're praying for wisdom and insight, Lord, to totally surrender. Give up that secret thing. Give up the things that so the weights and the sin that does so easily distract and beset us, Lord. Let us endure, Lord, for the joy that was set before us, the seal that's in us, which the joy that's set before us. We know that we've been sealed by you. We know this is not it. Let us not get distracted on this stuff down here. We're called to make disciples, build the kingdom. Let us not get off track. This world is lost and dying, and you called us to make disciples and build the kingdom, God. Let us be about your business. So I just want to pray quickly, Lord, for anyone who's here. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I just never accepted Christ. I think I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I might have the seal. I don't know, but I want to pray for you. You don't have to guess. Word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to accept Christ. Saved just means be rescued. Rescued from this world that's trying to tell you that something's wrong with you because you don't fit in. That you need something else to be something. God is saying, I've already made you something. Come on home. If you want to be saved this morning, elevate your hand. Or maybe you just want to rededicate your life. Pastor, I need to get on track today. I can't see what's going to happen the next 3 months, but I know today I need to get back in position with God. I need to rededicate my life. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I just need a place to plant where I can get the word, where the love of God is and the love of God's people lives. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family here. Oh, Lord, we love you on today. We thank you. We bless you. Ask Sister Katie to come up and pray for rededication. Ask some of the ladies just to come and surround her. And as we're all rededicating every day, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to gotta stay on track, Lord. Gotta do it your way. There's no way around it, God. You keep bringing me back to you and your way. So, Lord, your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper, but when we confess and forsake, we find mercy. So we thank you, Lord, for rededication, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit lead, guiding, and convicting us that we know we can be doing better. So we pray right now, Lord, we agree and we touch that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we're praying for strength. We thank you, Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And we bless you, Lord, because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know that there's nothing too hard for you. Give us insight. Give us discernment, Lord, where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say. God, when I surrender to you, that I'll have the courage to sacrifice whatever's holding me back from being all that you've called me to be. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. We recognize there's none like you and nothing too hard for you. Thank you for another chance, Lord. Thank you for the new mercies that greeted us this morning. Oh, we love you. There are new mercies greet us each and every morning that you allow us to wake up and see. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. We know we're blessed. And we're righteous, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ did for us. And we thank you, Lord. We didn't choose you. You chose us. There's nothing we can do about it. So we commit to living for you. We thank you for choosing us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet.